Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by Craghoppers, one of the UK's favourite outdoor gear experts. Craghoppers and the National Trust have joined forces to create a collection inspired by nature and designed for life. Sales from the range help to support the National Trust's vital work, restoring some of our incredible natural landscapes, from delicate wetlands to boggy peatlands. Together, we are working to look after nature and care for our landscapes for generations to come. Hello and welcome to Nature Fix with me, Claire Hickenbotham. Every month we take you with us as we meet the people who spend their time outside and join them in a place that most inspires them. Today we're in the heart of South London to meet Lucy and Yaz, the co-founders of a hiking group for LGBTQ plus women, trans and non-binary people. After posting a call out on social media, their hikes were an immediate hit, creating a much needed community in the outdoors. They now take over 200 people to natural wonders just a 2 hour or less train ride away from London. But it's not always a picnic. As we walk, we hear about soggy Doc Martens, a wedding that nearly leaves them stranded in Balcombe, and pride in unexpected places.
I'm Lucy, I'm one of the co-founders of Dyke Sea Hike. It's a LGBTQ plus women, trans non-binary people hiking group that we founded just over a year ago.
I'm Yaz, one of the co-founders of Dyke Sea Hike. We're in the middle-ish of Clapham Common, kind of near the boating lake. I don't know if that's a boat making that noise. But yeah, there's lots of people out walking tonight.
It's been a very rainy day, so I think people are making the most of walking their dogs now. It's not pouring with rain. You can hear a lot of noises all the time, a lot of ambulances going past.
A few Lime bikes.
A few near misses with the Lime bikes. It is pretty dark right now. It's quite cute because you can see all the lights. I was thinking actually, like, when you look that way, Clapham's looking quite beautiful and like the reflection of the water and stuff like that. But it is very dark. I'm grateful for the street lights.
You're much more optimistic about the dark nights than me.
There's something I like about the dark. Just really like being part of something and seeing how many cars are constantly travelling. And when I was little, I used to live in the middle of nowhere and I'd wake up in the middle of night and I'd still be able to hear some cars go past and I'd be like, okay, someone else is awake at the moment. And it kind of feels like that, where you're like in the middle of something but you know there's still everyone out there living their own life.
It does feel like that when you can see, I don't know, a big distance or see loads of cars go by, a lot of life being lived around here.
Last year, one of my main New Year's resolutions was that I just kind of wanted to meet more queer people. So I joined a basketball team for queer people, and that's where I met Yaz. And I remember we did the session, and I'm just like not very gifted in the sports world, but I do really enjoy it. But I remember like just feeling like it was really fun. It didn't really matter if you were good or you were bad. And I met Yaz literally, was it the first week?
Like, yeah.
Literally went to the pub. It's funny because you said before that you saw me and thought I wanted to be your friend, but I saw you and I was like, I wouldn't be Yaz's friend.
Aww.
Yeah, we just started seeing each other every week at basketball. And to be honest, like, we organised a hiking group. I don't think we'd ever hung out outside of basketball.
We just sort of started it half as a joke and we're like, if nothing else, we'll just go for a nice walk.
Yeah. Some of it was I'd moved to London not that long ago, but I started to realise there's so many places that are so close to London that are really easy to get to, and I wanted to see them. But also just wanting to meet new people and get outside. There's loads of things out there now to try and meet new people, but at this time, at least, when we were setting it up, it felt like a lot of them were quite, like, alcohol-based or, like, nightlife-based, and we almost wanted something during the day. And hiking felt like a good opportunity to tick a lot of things off our list.
We both wanted to do more hiking, but we just wanted to do it with the kinds of people that we would play basketball with. And we were like, wouldn't it be great just to go hiking but with this lot? And kind of funny, we were at the pub chatting about it and there was a few other people at the table that were all like, yeah, we'll go on the hike. And then when we actually did the hike, none of them came, and it was all just strangers of TikTok that came, and like none of our actual friends were there. I mean, they've all come on something now, but yeah, on the first one it was all just people on the internet that kind of had the same, I guess, desire to just meet new people and go for a walk.
Yeah. if you're going on a hike, it feels a lot easier to kind of like meet people and have conversations, and like it actually feels easier to get to know people. Because I think sometimes if you're meeting up and you kind of go to the pub or whatever and you sit down, you're sat and that's it. Whereas actually if you're on a hike, you're moving every minute and there's always something new to see and something new to talk about. And if you're not necessarily vibing with someone, you can like tie up your shoelace and then meet other people on the hike.
Yeah,
and
it's tactical like, shoelace.
Tactical tie. Shoelace. If anyone listens and sees us tie the shoelace.
Yeah, we only wear Velcro from now on. When we go on one of our walks, it kind of feels like a big school trip. There's kind of about 200 people. Everyone brings their packed lunch and like we all get the train together. And then we just go for a big walk. In the summer, we do like lots of coastal walks. So we end up in the sea and then go to the pub afterwards. But yeah, it's just like a big joyous affair, really. The feeling when you get to the meeting point or like you see everyone on the train, in the beginning, I found it so nerve-wracking. I was just like, oh my gosh, all of these people, this is kind of overwhelming, but also just really heartwarming because everyone's just smiling and like everyone's chatting and over half come on their own. And it's really cute to see that like right from the get-go, everyone's just chatting and open to like making friends and connections and stuff. Our first walk was the Seven Sisters hike from Seaford to Eastbourne.
Like 21 kilometres or something like that. Like it is a long one. And I mean, spoiler alert, but I think there's 8 sisters that you have to walk up and down.
I'd started doing that route a lot when I was back home living with my mum. And I'd always walk from like Eastbourne town to Berlin Gap or like the Cookmere, I think once. But then when I said to Lucy, oh, we should do this, it's beautiful. It is a gorgeous route, but I forgot that we wouldn't be coming from Eastbourne, we'd be coming from Seaford. And there's basically like a massive river, which I had just completely forgot we would have to go around. It basically added like 4 kilometres to this already very lengthy hike. People didn't really realise that we were actually going to go for a proper walk. People were in their Converse and Doc Martens.
Converse and Doc Martens were working overtime that day.
Yeah.
At that moment, I think it had just started like pouring rain. There was like an angry swan and we had to walk past it all. And I remember thinking, this is really interesting. Like, I'm not sure what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
It all just kind of worked out.
When people turn up again on a walk, like people that were on that first walk and then they come to another walk, we're always like, wow, you have a lot of trust in us that you came back. We learned a lot of lessons that day.
Yeah, we're in the middle of Clapham Common. I feel like this is the heart of Clapham Common. It's weird to see it kind of quiet because normally when I come around here, it's like buzzing. Like you're lucky to get a bench. We've got the big grandstand, I guess. I've seen people like do like gymnastics and band performances and stuff on there, which is really cool. And then there are lovely little cafe where you can like sit outside in the summer, like listen to music and all these like massive trees.
Got some big trees.
Beautiful leaves right now. I wish if it hadn't rained because then they'd be so crunchy to step on, which is like one of my favourite things. But alas, it's been raining all day. Not quite the same, but still pretty. I moved to London and I was like, okay, well, I've heard the word Clapham before, and then when I was looking through spare room I saw Clapham Junction and I was like, that sounds similar to places I've heard in London. So I just got the room and I've lived in Clapham Junction ever since. So this is one of my closest parks, so I come here a lot, go for walks with like my friends and my housemates and always get a coffee and just wander. I think there's something really nice about that. I try and do quite a lot of like meeting people for a walk, and it's quite a good spot to be able to do that.
There's a feeling that you get in London parks that does feel different to parks elsewhere, because I think people are so thankful for the space and like the greenery, and like people are always using them. In the summer it looks like a festival or something. Yeah. Like in no matter what park you go to, it's always just round with picnic blankets and people catching up and walking. It's nice. I guess my initial connection to nature, I really didn't have one. Like as a kid I was always inside watching TV. It really wasn't until I was older, and then during one of the lockdowns I was listening to a podcast about how like being by water is really good for your mental health, and then that really sparked for me like wanting to go on walks. I grew up in Eastbourne, so it's coastal, and yeah, being by the sea was really calming, and that for me was when I really got into hiking. And if I go on holiday I always want to try and get a big walk in.
It's kind of funny you're talking about being younger, because I remember when we were little, me and my little brother, my mum would be like, go outside and play. And we'd be like, no, like, don't want to go outside. And she'd basically like force us to go outside for like an hour or whatever. And in the end, like, as soon as we were outside, we did really like it. We'd always play a lot of like imaginary games and stuff like that. But then as I got a bit older, I feel like it's easier just to stay inside. I live in the middle of nowhere. I basically had one road that I could run up for 2.5 kilometres, and then I'd turn around and just run back, and that was like as far as it got. And it wasn't actually until lockdown that I was back in Suffolk, and I suddenly realised there were so many public footpaths around my house that I'd never really noticed. And so every day I'd do one of those footpaths. Since then, I've just like always wanted to be outside in some form. Like, if there's, even in London, like if there's a way I can cut some of the tube journey and do some of it walking instead, like just like being outside, just trying to get some form of fresh air, I think is really nice and just makes me feel like better set up for the day.
Dyke'sou Hike was always meant to create community, but it's exploded in popularity. The first hike had 60 attendees. The second had over 200. What is clear is that this space for LGBTQ plus women and trans non-binary people is not just creating community in London. It's giving them an opportunity to see places they might otherwise never see.
A lot of the time, I think people are really excited about the opportunity to kind of, yeah, go to new places and be around like all of these beautiful sites that they might not have even like known existed. And I think that's sometimes quite nice when we go on hikes that we hadn't even heard of before. It's really nice to suddenly like unlock a new place that you never realised was just like an hour from London or something like that. I always get really excited before a hike because you never quite know what's going to happen and who's going to be there and the connections you're going to make and the things you're going to see. And like, I remember on our second hike, actually we stopped at a National Trust lighthouse and we stopped there for lunch, and there was obviously, yeah, over 200 of us, and we took up all this like grassy space and we were sitting eating our picnics and everyone was just having such a good time. They were doing like handstands in the grass and it was so beautiful. And the people working at the National Trust were like, oh, like, what's going on? Like, who are you? And we said, we're Dyke'sou Hike. And this older guy who was working there ran inside and ran back out with loads of pride flags. And he was wearing a pride T-shirt over his shirt that he'd, like, found. And he brought it out for us all. And we all got a photo in front of the lighthouse of all these big flags. And everyone was, like, so excited. And it was just one of those things that you would never expect and we would never have imagine that that would have happened that day when you're getting the train on the way up. But yeah, it was one of those moments that was so special.
I think that's always a really heartwarming thing, especially when it's people that are just like members of the public, or in this instance, like someone who just happened to be working at a place that we were passing by that day. And when you interact with them and it's like not just a nice reaction, it's like, here, we'll put these flags out for you, like they're not for us, they're for like everyone. It's forming connections with people that you didn't expect to. I think those are like really heartwarming moments for me.
Yeah, that's really special. We just get so many nice comments of people saying that they just feel really like thankful for the space.
Because a lot of these places are just like small towns and they'll have like one or two pubs in them. And we always phone up the pub beforehand and like book a space. And that's always so funny when you're like, oh yeah, we're this LGBTQ plus walking group called Dyke'sou Hike, and can we book a pub garden for 150 people? And then one pub we turned up to, they'd put all these like pride flags out for us, and like they'd called all the local lesbians from the town to like come out.
We actually crashed a local wedding because it was this tiny village and it had a pub and it had a social club, and the social club, half of it was a pub that had a pool table and the other half was like a wedding venue. So there was a wedding going on in that side, but the local lesbians took us there. We've got photos of the last of the hikers and the local lesbians and all of these random bridesmaids. So random, but it was fun.
It's all community building.
And actually that kind of reminds me of a few comments we've had from people before where they say they've never had queer representation in this part of the world or whatever, and all of a sudden there's 150 of us right there where they've like grown up. If I was 15 and I saw 150 LGBTQ plus women, trans non-binary people walk past my house, I think I would die. Like, it's crazy to actually think about it. I think like sometimes if someone's suggested a hike to us, that's always really fun because they know it really well, and a lot of the time we'll have someone who's like, oh, this is near where I live, I can run the route for you, which is nice because we like to have a navigator on the hike. because we're not as good as reading maps.
Really bad at reading really maps, bad. Actually. Yeah, quite bad.
It's not our talent.
No, it's not. But some people love it and are really good at it. And it's really nice, yeah, when someone's like really proud of their town and they're like, oh yeah, my friend works at the cafe and or the pub and we can do a stop there. And that's always really nice.
We also use kind of social media as well. And like there's a lot of really great creators who make videos about places that you can get to.
So when we set up Dicey Hike, it just got so big so fast that we got a lot of questions about like, oh, can I bring my friend who's an ally or like my gay male bestie, which we had a lot of sympathy for, but there was just so much demand from like queer women, trans and non-binary people. We were like, yeah, let's like prioritize this group of people. Kind of anyone who identifies with like the label dyke is welcome. Yeah, that was kind of why we capped it as well, because I think on the second hike we got over 200 people and like we couldn't all fit. We did all fit, but it was like sardines on the train that like over to Dover, and then the train conductor couldn't reach their telephone to do the announcement, so we had to like pass it along like a line of us, and they just found it really funny how many of us there were on the train.
And I think there's something nice about, yeah, knowing that you're in a space where you can kind of just be fully yourself without having to have the initial kind of conversation.
Like you don't have to explain the details or things that just come with being queer. Like you just don't have to think about it when you're surrounded by those people and you're not othered, because there's just so many different ways of being a queer person. You see that every type when you're in a group of that size. So that's kind of why we did it, I guess, is just like to create a space for just that group of people.
Yeah, and I feel like there's something really nice about them, people say about how they've never really been in a space with that many other people like them, especially outside, like when you're not in a club or whatever. And so I think that's really nice and kind of a space that's quite treasured. I think people are often surprised by the amount of people that do come on the hikes, but there is something really powerful in like feeling like a big group where you're all like on a similar vibe. And yeah, you are able to go into these spaces that you might normally feel a bit weird in yourself, but suddenly it doesn't feel that scary because you're all surrounded by so many people who are so confident in themselves. It just like rubs off on you, you know?
The thing I always think about is I have like a bit of a fear of like public transport, and I had an incident on a bus a few years ago where basically just these like two random guys went a bit on like a homophobic rage at like me and my girlfriend at the time. And I think since then I've just been a lot more aware of being like, oh, try and fly under the radar or something on public transport. But then yeah, when we get the train back from a hike and there's like 100 of us or whoever's left, and like we're all having some tinnies and eating our fish and chips on the train, not being rowdy but being like loud, like people are like chatting or singing or playing music or something, and then I'm not worried at all, like it's never even crossed my mind, what are they gonna do, there's like 50 of us.
Like, I think people who aren't in the community might not always understand why the hiking group is so important to us and to lots of different people, and I think sometimes people might not quite get how important it is. But it's not just going out like with the dykes, like a lot of people always joke that their dad was like, oh, you're going out with the dykes tonight, da, da, da. But actually it's a deeper feeling of finding people that you can just exist with. I think one of the most important things about creating community outside is when you're outside, you enjoy it even more because you're getting to see so many beautiful things whilst this beautiful thing between you and these people is happening.
I think someone's put it really nicely on like the second walk, where they said that normally they're just used to going like catch ups with friends and like, but when you spend the whole day together, you go beyond all of that and then you start like actually living life together, I think was the way that she put it. And I was like, oh wow, that's very profound. Oh yeah, we've done a big loop of the park now, coming back to the boating lake where this walk began. We see some of the street lamps shimmering in the water. That was a line bike going through a puddle. which seems to be a real theme of this walk. And also quite fun, we can see some basketball courts off to the side, and that also feels full circle because me and Lucy met at a basketball club, so really coming back to the roots.
I can't believe it's been so well planned to end like that.
My hope for the future of Dyke Sea Hike is just to have a group set up in every like town and city in the UK, if not the world. We've got a few set up across England already, like up in Manchester and Leeds and Shropshire and Norwich. And yeah, it's really great when people either come on the walk and then they think, oh, this is what my town needs, I want to go and bring it back there. Or they just see it on Instagram and think the same thing. There's It's just like this web that can spread, and hopefully people can find a few more friends out of it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Here's a quick message from Craghoppers, our series sponsor. If you're planning winter adventures, why not check out our latest National Trust collection in stores and on our website? We'll be back in a month's time with a new episode, but if you can't wait that long, why not check out our history podcast, Back When, or our nature series, Wild Tales. And if you're planning a hike, why not check out Borrowdale Nature Reserve? I'll see you soon. Bye for now.